Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hey everybody, welcome to Voice Rising. Today I have with me in studio the world-renowned musician, composer, educator, producer, and peace activist Yuval Ron. And we're going to talk about divine attunement and sound consciousness. Among Yuval's many honors, Yuval has composed the music for the Oscar-winning film West Bank Story, was invited to perform for the Dalai Lama, has collaborated with the Sufi leader Pir Zia, Inayat Khan, and the master musician Omar Farouk. I apologize.
Yeah.
Tekbilek. I have to practice this, Yuval. I know you're there, Zen Buddhist priest and visual artist.
You got it.
I got it. Hirokazu Kosaka.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just amazing, amazing co-collaborators, co-creators. Your first book, Divine Attunement, Music as a Path to Wisdom, won the gold medal for the best book in the spirituality category at the Indie Book Awards. And a warm welcome. One can hear that you're already there with me, and I'm so blessed. I'm blessed to have
Thank
you back with me.
It's wonderful to talk to you, Kara, as always, because We have a conversation from the inside, because you are a musician and you know what I'm experiencing and what I'm talking about. So it's great to have this exchange of ideas.
It's very amazing, and that I love your music. And I'm turning everybody, I know you have a lot of fans in Europe, but now I think you have even more fans, because I've been listening to your music over the last months, and there's such a, you know, there's such a healing quality, and it's not only serene, it's not, I don't want to say it's only calm, there's a rhythmic pulsation, there are diverse tapestry, you know, there's a tapestry, it's actually feeling that woven tapestry, and I wanted to start in a different place today, the interview. So a dream seems so ethereal, and yet a dream, if it's remembered and manifested, it creates millions of opportunities. So today I would like to start with your dream. Can you name the dream that you carry within you for our world, where your music is in that dream for our humanity?
Yes. I used to say to many of my friends that I feel very fortunate person, because I realized all of my dreams and my personal dreams. I've been very, very lucky and very fortunate that dreams that I had since I was a teenager, I managed to realize in my lifetime. I'm in my mid 50s, and I felt that when I was 40, and one great dream still is on my list. So I've left with one dream, which is not about my personal life, but it's about the life of humanity. It's about the world. It's about humanity, and it's about peace. So that's the one dream that is left on my lap, and that's what I'm focusing on. And I'm trying to address that not just in my work as a peace activist, bringing my ensemble. I created an ensemble called Yuval Ron Ensemble that has musicians and dancers from the Muslim and Jewish and Christian faith, and we've been working for 20 years together and touring the world and teaching and performing and showing that together we can create more harmony and more beauty when we work together and when we respect each other and our musical tradition, our sacred traditions of poetry and music and sacred dance. So I've been doing this work, which is specifically addressing peace in the world and encouraging dialogue. And I've done that not just in the Middle East. I was brought to Korea, and I've done this project with the Korean government on the border between South Korea and North Korea. And I've done it in Poland and in India and in Cuba. 2 years ago, we were on a peace mission tour to Cuba. And so I've been doing that, and this is very clearly a work, you know, it's peace mission, and it's about bringing people together. But in addition, I became involved in music healing with healing sounds, and that is, for me, this is working on the same dream of bringing more peace to this world, but through healing the mind and the body, and doing that through contemplative music, meditative music, but also that is rooted in medical traditions of China and India, and in neuroscience and music therapy studies that come mostly from the West. And so it's based on East and West wisdom traditions, science and ancient shamanic wisdom. And the music that I compose from these sources are meant to create inner peace in each listener. And through that, I hope to achieve peace. One more element in my work to try to promote that one last dream that I have is I started a 3 years ago, I started a charitable foundation called Inspired Sound Initiative. .org, and that is a foundation that is based in Los Angeles, but it's working all over the world, and it's about bringing education through music and dance and storytelling to very difficult neighborhoods, to schools that have no arts, schools that the communities are struggling and the youth are at risk, and we're trying to inspire those communities to rise above the difficult reality that they have, to inspire them for their higher virtues, to inspire them to reach and become like a lotus flower that grows out of the mud.
Beautiful.
And they are, that is one more front that I'm working on, and that is something that anybody can be part of, the listeners, and anybody could join us in being involved, and they can look it up on inspiredsoundinitiative.org, .org. So that is the dream.
I mean, that is a dream that I personally think it is feasible and it is doable. I really admire all of us for gathering, because I think that's what it takes. I think that it takes the courage to speak that, to give it word, to say, I believe and live world peace. Right? I think there are many people that say, yeah, that's great, Yuval, that you believe that, but you know that it might not ever. The truth is, it can happen, because I think that 99% of the people that we are meeting every day are really good souls, are really people that long for peaceful lives and inspired lives. So
yes,
I'm
Thank you
focused on
for
the
asking me about
99,
that.
right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
right. And so you've then studied, because you're talking about the East and the West, so you've had a lot of experiences, which I'd love you to share, with different mystery schools. Yeah, we have the shamans, in South American shamans, we have, the Sufis, we have many different schools that work with sound. Would you like to share a little bit more about what it's like to gain that wisdom from ancient practices?
Yes, the Sufi tradition from India is a very rich tradition. It's a very interesting lineage. I've been involved with an order called the Chishti order, and Chishti is a saint that lived in India several hundred years ago, and he's buried in Ajmer, which is the Sufi capital of India. Which is in Rajasthan, India.
Right.
And I've been in touch with that lineage, which in Europe and in America it's called now the Inayati order, with the Inayati, Inayati order. It used to be called, until very recently, it was called the International Sufi Order. And it started about 100 years ago. A great teacher who was a master musician named Hazrat Inayat Khan came from India to America and to Europe, and he has many followers in Germany and in Holland. There's a center in Holland, there's a center in France that he started and still operating. The many followers in England and all over the world and in America. And his grandson is the leader of the order right now. His grandson is a wonderful Sufi teacher named Pirzia Inayat Khan. And he became a friend of mine and a collaborator back in 2004, when he invited me to come to the headquarters of that Sufi order in upstate New York, near Albany, New York. And since then I've been involved with their teaching and with their work, and I've studied some of the information from the books of his grandfather, who wrote a classic book called The Mysticism of Sound and Music, or the Mysticism of Music and Sound.
I just
And
want on my reading list.
it was a book that influenced John Coltrane, Carlos Santana. There's all kind of, many jazz musicians read it in the 60s. It was a cult classic in the 60s. And in a way, my book, Divine Attunement, Music as a Path to Wisdom, I see it as a continuation of his book about the mysticism of sound of music. So through his grandson, Pirzia, who is now the leader, and through the books and through some of the colleagues in that order, I've been researching and practicing and teaching some of the breathing chanting meditations and that are based on the elements. So it's a great tradition because it brings wisdom from the Middle East, but also wisdom from India, because it's Sufism that developed for hundreds of years in India and then finally came to the West. So that is one of the tradition. I also studied with the Jewish Kabbalistic masters from it's about four or five different Kabbalistic rabbis that I studied with. And their practice goes back to some of them to 11th century Egypt, where there was a ecstatic Kabbalistic rabbi named Rabbi Abraham Abu Maimonides. There was another in the Middle Ages in Spain. There was a Renaissance. The Renaissance in Europe was preceded by Renaissance in Spain. And in Spain, it happened in the Middle Ages when all of Europe was in the Dark Ages, when there was great destruction after the Roman Empire collapsed. And in Spain, there was a great, great, great project of bringing knowledge from the Middle East through the Muslims and the Jews that were in south of Spain, in Andalusia. And this is what is called the Golden Age of Spain. So in the Middle Ages, there were great libraries and great translation projects and great wisdom traditions that flourished in Spain. And one of them is the Kabbalistic, mystical Jewish tradition. And there were several Kabbalists in that time that practiced sound and sound healing. So that is another school that have been carried, and all those schools have been secretive over the history. Typically, women were not allowed to be involved in those schools, in those teachings. Men under the age of 40 would not be allowed. You would have to gain the trust of the teacher, and it was restricted to just all older men. And
well, why do you think that was so, Ebal? Why do you think that it was?
It had to do with the role of men and women in society.
Yeah.
You know, the role that women were given traditionally was to nurture the family and nurture the children and take care of the house and the family. And so they didn't have the luxury of taking on the practice of being a scholar or being a doctor or being a philosopher or being a translator. And so all the roles were taken by men at that time. The reason for the age 40, age 40 was considered that you are you're a responsible adult. That was the age. And also, by the age of 40, you were expected to establish yourself and take care of your family and raise your kids. And by the age of 40, you were done. Your kids could have been 18 years old or 16 years old. They were marriage age. They could go on their own. So,
you were ready to deepen your study in life.
Yeah, exactly. You had the luxury of going.
So hold that thought. We're talking about mystery school, sound consciousness, sound healing with the composer Yuval Ron. We'll be back after a short station break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. This is Kara Johnstead. You're at Voice Rising, and I am in studio with the fabulous composer Yuval Ron, and we were just talking about sound healing and the mystery schools, and Yuval was talking and sharing about who was actually allowed in these early mystery schools. And I had this other theory, Yuval, and I just wanted to ask you what you thought about it, is because sound is so powerful, because mindfulness can also be such a powerful place, do you think this is why these tools were kept secret? Because if a voice practice, for example, if somebody who is the enemy or who is perhaps not conscious receives such powerful tools, it might bring more harm than harmony to our world.
Yes, part of the reason that it was kept secret is that people could get hurt, and some people did. Some people lost their minds. Some people lost their. Some people got injured, body and mind wise. And it had to be, the teacher had to sort out who is responsible, because any tool can be used for good or for bad. You know, television can be a wonderful educational tool, but television can be a horrible tool. So the same thing with sound healing, with sound, with any tool. And so they had to sort out only people that are responsible and that will use it in a responsible and respectful way. And I still say to my students, when my students come to study with me in different retreat centers like Esalen Institute or 1440 or Shambhala Mountain Center, they come and we study those techniques, and at the end of the week, I sit and I talk to them about that, and I tell them how I shared with them information and techniques and practices that elders have trusted me with, and I trust my student that they would use those practices in a respectful way and in a positive way for themselves and for others. And so I have a whole talk about that before sending the students home after a week retreat. And it's a very serious conversation, you know, and that's why I don't allow them to videotape my seminars. It's not allowed. They can record it. They can record it audio-wise, just for their own taking notes by recording audio, but no video is allowed. And and people who are not working are not allowed in the room. So, for example, in Esalen Institute, one year, one of the board of directors, the board of trustees of Esalen Institute, which is in Northern California, approached me and asked if she could join my class. And she happened to be Muslim American, and that day happened to be all about Sufi Islamic practices. And I was delighted that she showed interest and she wanted to join my course for that day, where she was on a visit on campus. And I invited her, but I told her, if you come to the room, you have to be like one of the participants. You have to work. You can't sit and witness. You have to experience it. You have to be one of the people. So that's how I do it. And just to conclude this, to answer your question with one little anecdote, I wanted to share with you that when I was 19, I started with my first Kabbalistic teacher back in Israel, where I grew up. And that practice of Kabbalah, the mysticism, as I mentioned, was limited to only men over the age of 40. And I was 19. Mm-hmm. And I learned about the history of Kabbalah and about this restriction. And suddenly I caught myself, and that I'm just 19 and maybe I shouldn't be there. And I turned to my teacher, and I asked him, and this was in the early 80s, so almost 50 years ago.
Ancient.
So, you know, 40 so years ago, I turned to him and I said, wait a second, how can it be that that you're teaching me, because I'm just 19? And he turned to me and he said, the shape of the world is such that we have to open it to every soul, to every willing person. This has to be taught. And
so they sense that there is a shift happening on planet Earth that is...
And I see that across the board. I see that with Native American teachers here in America that now teaching traditions and wisdom from the Native American, which in the past they would teach only for people from the tribe. Now they teach people that are not part of the tribe and people who are not Native American. And I see that among the Sufi traditions, they are opening up because there's a sense of urgency. We have to respond to the crisis of the planet. We have to respond with and the separations, you know, between men and women, and young people and old people and people from different nations, different tribes. All this separation is old world. It's really irrelevant now. Now is the time that we all have to unite, because we all have to work together to deal with the crisis of the planet, because the planet is is a cry of the planet, because the planet has been abused and mismanaged and mishandled by humans to a point that now things start to get to catastrophic levels and
that's
avoid
the
complete
heart
catastrophe.
Unity.
Yeah.
That's
so
the heart unity that you...
The unity is crucial to, you know, for us to work together to come up with smart solutions to how we live on Earth in a harmonious way.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure that you would agree with me, and I mean that the planet just reflects also our own body, that our body is like an orchestra, so it has to be finely tuned. If one, let's say one flute player is out of pitch, we need so much awareness to keep it in balance. And the same thing is with our planet. If one system starts going out of balance, everything else needs to work almost double time, if not triple time, to keep it in balance. And at some point, we can't balance it anymore. And so that's why it's so critical to work with the healing aspects, also of sound, because I think a lot of people forget, and I know you can, you know, speak volumes of this, that not only does every organ in our body have a frequency, but our Earth also has frequency. The planets have a frequency. Mm-hmm. The sun has a frequency, right? So everything is receiving and giving. Everything that is alive has a sound, has a pulsation, has a rhythm.
Yeah.
And we're in a relationship or relating to the planet Earth, to each other, right? To one another. It doesn't matter really which, you know, Yeah, again, whether you're 40 or 20, man, woman, black, white, it doesn't matter, because we all are pulsating, magnetic, beautiful, electronic, do you say that? Electric beings.
Yes.
It sounds like robots, but it is phenomenal. It's a miracle that we're able to be so connected, and yet due to certain conditionings, we think that we're not. But the fact is we are. We're connected with every single thing that is alive on this earth.
Yes, we are. It's all vibration, and really, the universe is like a soup. We're all
in a
soup. We're all particles in a soup, and each one of us has a different vibration, and we all affect each other. Every little mm-hmm. thing that is going on affects the molecules of air around it, and every effect, every cause has an effect. Every action as a result, and we don't see it because our brain, for evolutionary reasons, our brain has been developed to slice reality to pieces and to see things as separate. And this is because it's for personal survival. Because if you sit in a field and a fire starting, and you're in a deep meditative state where your brain is going to a different consciousness, different state of consciousness, and your brain doesn't separate reality to objects and mm-hmm. and particles. So your brain tells you that the fire and you are one, and it is one. It's all one. And so there's no fear. The life and death is one continuum. There's no fear of death. There's no fear of the fire. You are the fire is one. There's no reason to come up and run away or to grab a bucket of water and to throw water on the fire. There's no point. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for that. So that state of mind is quite dangerous state of mind for survival. So in all the traditions of contemplations and ecstatic practices, those practices were done in a group under supervision of a master. You had to have somebody hold the space, somebody supervising, somebody who's not getting ecstatic. So in those practices, the teacher often does not get ecstatic with the students, with the followers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the teachers hold the space, watching and caring for the health and of all the other human beings in the room or in the field or in the mountain that are doing the practice, the ecstatic practice. And so when we go back to normal consciousness, which is like from a brain frequency, it's called beta. So mm-hmm. in beta state, our brain vibrates in a certain speed, and in that frequency, we are in analytical thinking, reasonable, intellectual thinking mode, where we can analyze things and we can speak and we can talk, we can be reasonable. And in that state of mind, which is the normal state of mind for us,
right.
we see ourselves as separated from all other human beings and all other animals because we need to survive. And when we dream, when we go deep into meditation, our brain slows down the vibration to a different state of mind, which is called alpha, and there's deeper states where the brain starts vibrating even slower.
Like
and
theta.
That is the writers know that space. You know, when you work on a piece of music, when you compose a song, when you write a poem, when you really deep place, like in a deep dream state, you can create something. And if somebody knocks on the door, you jump. You're so deep in your work, you are not in the regular state of mind of being aware of your environment.
Yes.
So as human beings, we have the ability to get to different states of consciousness, and it meant for dreaming, for creative work, for contemplative work and meditation and a shamanic practice and for health, and so you could, and for unity, for to sense the unity of all things. So in tribal and shamanic cultures, there were times, there were ceremonies, and there were practices that were taught to reach those mindsets, but it would be a special occasion. It's not meant to be done every day, all day, mm-hmm. because people mm-hmm. had to hunt, people had to maintain their camp, and so we have the ability to shift between different consciousness in order to function. But if we always in the consciousness of hunting and gathering and taking care of our house, and we're all the time in this reasonable thinking mode that doesn't allow us to feel the deep connection between all things and the unity of all things, then we are alienated from an aspect of ourselves and then alienated of this one aspect of the universe, of the unity. Because the universe is a unity expressed through variety. So what do we see is variety. What is mm-hmm. hidden is the unity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's where many people are in the moment. Huh? Many people are, they do feel, they're running and they might be functioning and they're trying to put food on the table and they
right.
might have two jobs and they're missing that dream time, that time for inspiration, for connecting with meditation,
yes.
for music.
Yeah.
You know, even
unity,
some people say they need they need the bridge of creativity because sometimes it's just too mm-hmm. hardcore to go from the 60-hour week and sit in a Zen monastery. They might need to draw and journal and compose, pick up a guitar to bring them uh-huh. to bridge it a little bit. Right?
Yes. Yes, yes. So that's the balance, that's the dance that we all have to do. And the practices that I teach, you know, in the seminars that I teach, that is exactly what we do. We practice different modalities, different practices from Zen Buddhism to Nada Yoga that comes from India, to Sufi practices, to contemplative Christian practices. For example, there's a beautiful practice of the labyrinth in Christianity, of walking meditation in a labyrinth. It's a very special practice that comes from ancient Greece and developed in Europe, and it's a great practice that we do with sacred music and very slow walking in the retreats, and then we have the Jewish Kabbalistic practices, and people get tools to go back to their lives and use that tool for their health, for their sense of unity and harmony, for having ways to experience it within their own regular life and their routine.
Right.
They have something that they could do 10 minutes each morning that attune. It's all about attunement, that attune themselves. And then it affects the whole day. Every interaction in the remaining time of the day is different. The level of patience is different. The level of harmony is different with everybody that you meet. And in a way, for me, that is the kind of work on one person at a time that can change the world. Because through each one of my students,
exactly.
I reach their families and their communities and their neighbors.
Of course, exactly. Hold that thought. We're going to
sure.
have it by the end of the show. It's world peace time. That's what it is. Okay, stay tuned. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the composer Yuval Ron.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. We are back. I'm Cara Johnstad, and you are at Voice Rising, and I'm talking to the composer, musician, performer, lecturer, peace activist, Yuval Ron, and let's keep on diving a little bit deeper. Yuval, in your music, there's an amazing sense of unlimited expansiveness. I always sense this ability, although it's on this small, you know, often I stream your things from an MP3 player, and yet there's an expansive, open possibility that's there. Do you feel that there are always new musical sounds or ways that you approach music that can continue to be broken? Rules that can be broken, maybe that's the right question.
Yes, I can see what you're describing. I like layered sound. I like many layers. Mm-hmm. I like richness. Sometimes I compose just for one instrument. For example, the solar chakra on the album Voyage Through the Chakras, the right. whole third chakra is just solo cello. It's beautiful and powerful. So sometimes just one instrument is called for, and sometimes a whole symphony is called for, or many, many layers of electronic sounds and acoustic sounds together. So okay. I've done a lot of work for film, and I've done a lot of work for modern dance, for contemporary dance, for choreographers, and for theater and for world music albums, and I like rich sound. I like I'm a sound person like yourself, and we mm-hmm. we are sensitive to sound, so I look for the best sounds that I can get. When I record a cellist, for example, I try to get the best microphone and the best studio and the best cellist with the best instrument and the richest, most beautiful sound. That's why I personally dislike MP3s and all the streaming stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's degrading the quality and it's less vibration than the real thing. So we went from analog. We used to have LPs, vinyl. And
right,
this used to have all the frequencies. Then we went to digital format on CDs, and that was some reductions in the amount of frequencies. Then we went from CDs to MP3s on small speakers and small earbuds, so we have even less depth in the music. So I recommend to people to download. There are some websites where you can download the full quality files of music in wave form or in FLAC, FLAC form. Or if you have to get it on MP3, sometimes you can choose the quality of the MP3, and you can choose the highest quality of MP3. That's the least damage to the music.
There's so much. Also, there's just so much compression needed for the streaming devices that it really destroys the.
So the standard, what they call the standard MP3 files are very, very small file compared with the full sound. So we are getting less sound, and the music is still beautiful. The music is still great. That's amazing. You can listen to all old recording of classical music that was recorded without very good microphones, and it sounds thin, but it's still Mozart. It's still, if there was a great
there's
performer.
A richness, right? Don't you think there's it's similar still... to how photography has been changed, that when you don't hear those fine nuances, that there's this expectation only for loudness, and one forgets that something that is full, let's say a flower also, I'm sorry, I have a cough, has edges and has softness around the edges?
like in photography, if we see a photo of a very low quality, low res photo of a beautiful flower, the flower is still beautiful. But when we see a high resolution photo, or if we go to nature and we see the flower in person, then we it's a different experience. We see that the beauty is even greater. I'll give you an example in music. Years ago, I think Paul Simon released an album called Graceland. Not Graceland, but the one he did after in Brazil.
I don't have the title.
Yeah, I forget the one. But in any case, that was the first album that I heard on MP3 on the computer. So I found somebody sent me a link, and I listened to a few songs of Paul Simon's new album, and that was, I don't know, 20 years ago. And I listened to it, and I thought, oh, that sounds great, and all the instruments, all the Brazilian percussions that he had many, a whole ensemble of Brazilian percussionists playing with him, and I heard all those beautiful sounds of the percussion. And I said to myself, you know, that's a kind of album that I want to have. So I went to the store. I went to, in Hollywood, there's the biggest record store in the world called Amoeba Records. It's still the last, it's the last big record store in America that's still open. And it's a whole city block. And I went there and I bought the album on a CD. And I came back to my studio and played the CD. The same music that I heard an hour earlier on MP3 from the internet. And I was amazed. I was amazed to hear the difference, the depth, sound, the richness of the sound. The music, I thought that the music was beautiful on the internet. But now I heard the full beauty of it, So that is a very troubling development in modern life that we are living to the young generation, to the future generations, and the current generations the young people today don't even know what a stereo system is.
They're feeding their bodies with the sound, which is incomplete in a way. Right?
Yes,
they're feeding their bodies through their ears, often with a very damaged and not full sound.
Yeah, they are conditioned to listen to music on YouTube from small computer speakers, and that's their experience. And one of the results of that situation is that this young generation is so attracted to live performances. The tickets, you know, the amount of money that people are willing to pay for recorded music have been plummeted, have been going down and down and down and down and down. But the price that people are willing to pay for live music have been going up and up and up and up and up. And that's a symptom for this process. So people are so moved from hearing live concert. Why? Because suddenly they hear the whole bass. Suddenly they hear the whole sound. they hear this incredible richness that vibrate their body, and they are so moved. It's such an incredible, vivid experience that people just pay a lot of money to go to see live music, which is good. But most of the time, most of the our life, we don't listen to live music. We go to a concert maybe once a week, maybe once a month, maybe once a year. But most human beings listen most of the time to recorded music, and now they are conditioned to hear it on the internet in a low quality, reduced quality, and that is a very, very sad state of affairs.
Not everybody has access to those big concert halls, right? Many people live in remote places.
Yeah.
So Yuval, in your events. Share.
Yeah, I just want to conclude by saying, with a hopeful note, is that I really hope that the technology will improve, that we are only in a transition period, that this would be remembered as the transition period of the digital revolution, that we will reach a situation where the technology will improve, that will allow for the internet and for computers and phones to stream the full quality of sound, which is much more information, and some computer wizards will have to come up with a whole new technology to get the people the music in its full glory, in its full vibration through the internet, and that will fix this issue that we are experiencing nowadays.
Well, I am sure that all of your albums are available at least in CD format. I'm not sure about vinyl, but
sure, yeah, they're all available. All of my albums are available on my website to download as high quality tracks. So if you go to the store on my website and you click on an album that you want to listen to, when you go to purchase it, to download it, you can purchase it as a CD, or you can download it. And when you go to download it, you can choose either to download it as MP3 or to download the whole album as high-quality CD quality FLAC files. It's called FLAC, which is high, full quality. And that is the reason why I work with my worldwide distribution is on a company called CDBaby.com, and they have all my albums. And so the store on my website is linked to their distribution website, and they sell CDs, they sell vinyl, they sell they download the high quality files or the MP3, depends whatever people want. They can choose.
So is it better that people go to cdbaby.com, or give us again your homepage address?
They can go to cdbaby.com and type Yuval Ron, which is spelled Y-U-V-A-L. Ron is R-O-N. Or they can go to my website, which is yuvalronmusic.com, and they can find everything there.
Yeah. So what's next on your agenda? You are doing very big, beautiful events that bring story and music and energy work and poetry, I believe, together for our world, to awaken our world, to live that vision of world peace. When are your next?
Yeah, we have a big concert this Sunday in Los Angeles. We have a big concert that is a benefit concert for a school in Israel that bring teenagers from all over the world to study together, to be leaders of tomorrow, to train them for 2 years, the last 2 years of high school. They're training those kids to be leaders for nonviolent communications and conflict resolution techniques. It's a special high school. And there's only one high school like this in Switzerland and another one in Israel, and it's an IB program. It's international baccalaureate that focuses on conflict resolution techniques, and there's great number of Arabic and Jewish students and students from all over the world, from Africa, from Europe, who study in this school. It's a new school that just started 2 years ago, and I'm I've become a supporter of that school, and so this Sunday we're doing a big concert in Los Angeles to fundraise for that school. And I'm going to Colorado to I have a 2 week tour in Colorado. It's starting in April 5th, where I'm going to be teaching a weekend long retreat on sound healing and sound meditations and sacred sound in Shambhala Mountain Center mm-hmm. in Colorado. And then we have a 2 week concert tour and teaching tours in Denver area and Boulder area, Colorado. And then I'm going to teach in Northern California in Mendocino and in a place called, a wonderful new place called 1440. It's 1440.org. And it's they call it Multiversity, not a university, but Multiversity. Yeah. And
because it has
great,
many different...
It's a great place, yeah. So I'll be teaching there in July a 5 days course of the sacred music and dance meditations and healing sounds, July 14th through the 19th.
Beautiful.
And I hope to visit you. I hope to visit you next year in Berlin. If
yes, come to
well.
Berlin, Yuval. You are welcome. Welcome at the School of Voice, a small, beautiful school. And I thank you again so much for being with me today at Voice Rising. And I wish you not only success. I wish, and I know that your dream is, it will be, it is world peace.
Thank you.
Is in the creating process, and Yuval Ron is leading the way. Thank you so much. I will
thank
you,
Cara. With your help and your listener helps, we will make the world a